Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. I saw a few of you kind of moving a little bit. Yeah, that's a good one to move to. And that's what we're here for. We need to loosen up a little bit. Yeah, because we're going to sing praises to God, and we have to sing them and live it when we leave this building. I am so appreciative of you and thankful that you are here today, and continue to ask God's blessing upon you and your life. And especially if you're visiting or our guest today, we want to welcome you and thank you for being among us. And hopefully we make you feel right at home. This is a family church, and we are part of one bigger family of Jesus Christ. In a few minutes, we'll hear some announcements and recognize birthdays and anniversaries, and then we're going to begin our service. But right now, we like to greet one another with the peace of Christ. Will you greet your neighbor with the peace of Christ?
Okay. Well, good morning, Calvary. Good morning. I'm going to give you just another second or two to find your seats. It is wonderful, though, to see everyone passing the peace of Christ this morning. I think I'm turned on. Okay. Well, good morning and welcome to Calvary. Another blessed morning to be here to start our week off on Sunday here at Calvary with our family of God. We are just happy and blessed that each and every one of you are here this morning. George is not with us this morning, but we have Todd filling in for him. And I believe you guys do remember Todd. He has a wonderful gift and talent that he shares with us. So we are thankful for that. And thank you, choir, for that beautiful introit. Yes, we got to get moving. Holy Spirit is welcome in this place. Amen. Well, my name is Robin Stowers, and I will be your liturgist for the month of August. And I'd like to start by asking, do we have any birthdays or announcements? Birthdays or anniversaries? Birthday! Oh, well, do you mind standing? Okay, we have, is it your birthday too? Oh, little one, and she's going to be a year old on Monday, you said? Okay, well, Uh-oh. Watch out. So we have Miss Lee Amond and Anna Jolene. Okay, yes. Okay, well. Do we want to sing Happy Birthday? Yes, we do. Very nice. Okay, no anniversaries? Okay. Let's move right on to just a couple short announcements. I did let the congregation know last week that we will be discontinuing the newsletter. So on September 4th, we're going to have a little bit of a heftier bulletin when you come in on Sunday mornings. And inside that bulletin will be all your announcements and special events that are going on. And I really want to thank the communication committee for really trying to put this together. And when we do a change, you know, it's kind of hard. But like it says, remember, if nothing ever changed, there would be no butterfly. So we're asking God's blessing upon our new change with our bulletin. The other announcement, Nancy Walker is really trying to work hard with trying to get a care ministry going. There's some information on there's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board. Our Calvary family is a very special group of people, amen? All right, who love and support one another. We're there if someone needs us, and we all know situations occur regularly, but doesn't always receive our response. We're aware that a person who usually sits near us is absent. We know it, but we really don't ever do anything about it. Sisters and brothers in Christ, the care team is asking for your help. We want to be more responsive to noticing these things, and so we're asking for volunteers to join us in serving those around us. It's very simple. If you note that a person that usually is here is not here, all you have to do is just let someone know as an usher, the office, so that we will be able to reach out to them and let them know that they are loved and missed. You know, that's very important, especially in a church this size. Very important. So there is a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board outside of the church office just waiting for you to put your name on it. You know, it's a great way to serve God and this Calvary family. And so I hope that you will take note of that. All you got to do is put your name down, you know, and just it's a contact that Nancy can make so that we can try and let these things not go unnoticed. I think that's a very wonderful ministry. Okay, well, do we have any more? Yes, Miss Betty.
I just want to thank, well, the children's home want to thank you more. But I want to thank you for the donations. We have $295 in gift cards. Yay. $27 in cash. And from our fifth funding offering, we have $935.
Wow.
So thank you all.
Praise God. Okay, if you would please turn to your opening words. God of justice, peace, and mercy.
We come to pray for your name.
God of love, forgiveness, and grace.
We come to praise your name.
God of wholeness, healing, and restoration.
We come to praise your name.
Come into this time of praise and worship. Amen.
If you would stand and turn to page 261 in your hymnals, we'll sing Lord of the Dance, and we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5. I Turn to number 889. We'll have our affirmation of faith. There is one God, and there is one mediator, Jesus Christ, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify.
This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by the angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen.
Today, I convinced John and Bradley to come up here with the kids, even though they're with youth, because I need their help today. And maybe we can all be part of this little thing that I'm going to try out with you all. What I want you to do, there she goes. Wow. And she's off and running. Well, we're all going to get up and move around, so we have to be careful not to run over any babies. What I want you to try to do is walk bending over like this, looking at the ground. You can't stand up straight. Go ahead, get up on your feet. You walk bent over. Can you skip like this? No? You can try to skip. It's not real easy to do, is it? Can you put your head up and look at the stars like this? No, you can't. No. You can. There you go. It's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to look up and see. It's kind of hard to see the people out there when you're bent over like this. You can stand up now, and guess what you can do? You can skip. You can skip, right? You can turn around. You can dance a jig. You can say hi to people. You can look up at the sky and see what's up there. Yeah, it's hard to move when you're bent over like that. Jesus healed a woman today that was bent over, and Jesus said to her, "You are set free." And that's what I want to tell you today. Jesus sets us free to be who we are. We are made, we're all made in God's image, and God has a plan for each and every one of us. Bradley has a plan. John has a plan. Zachary has a plan. The two little babies have a plan, Anna and Ashton. And for all of you, God has a plan for your life. And he wants to set us free to live that plan, to make us whole, to make us who we were meant to be in God's image. And I want to say thank you to God today for setting us free. Let's bow our heads. We do thank you, O Lord, for your healing touch, which sets us free to be the people you have called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, here you go. You may have some candy. There you go. Good job. That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one. Will the ushers please come forward as we continue to worship God this morning through the giving of our gifts. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for each gift and every giver, and we pray that these gifts will be used for furthering your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I want to remind you that the candle on the altar is burning for victims of violence in our world. We remember when we go to God in prayer that Jesus has called us to be peacemakers and reconcilers, and so we come before God remembering that this is who God has called us to be. I want to lift up a few people in prayer today, and if I've left someone out, you can let me know, but what I'm aware of is Bill White is getting better. Last week he was ill, quite ill, but he's doing much, much better. Chuck Long has been discharged from the hospital. Isn't that right, Teresa? And he's doing better. He's doing better. Much better. We are so grateful to hear that. Sharon Harris is still at Heartland Care Center on Wells, getting strong again after her infection that knocked her out. And she will be strong enough, hopefully before too long, to go back home and live independently. Barbara Coleman's mother has recovered or is in the process of recovering from a stroke, and she was in worship today at the early service. And so we want to remember her as well today. Barbara has a big job on her hands to care for her mother and her father. And so we ask for your prayers for her. And I would invite you into this time of prayer through some silence. And it might help you to close your eyes and bow your heads. And to take a few deep breaths and let them out. And feel the presence of the Spirit. And make your needs known before the Lord. For all of these, O Lord, we lift up in prayer, and many, many more prayers go up. The world is full of neediness, full of needing your healing touch today. Surround us, dear God, with your special love, that we may know just how precious we are in your sight. We are your beloved children. And we come to you, bowing down and lifting up our eyes, dear God, for the many good gifts and blessings that you give us every single day. We thank you and we praise you for your goodness and pray your blessing upon us as a church that we may continue to be strong in your name and follow you wherever you would lead. In this we pray as he taught us to pray together by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against you. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you'd stand and look through the screen behind me, you'll sing My Life is in You.
Oh, that's beautiful. Our scripture this morning is found in Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. And I hope that you would follow along on the screen, or you may turn in your pew Bibles to page 92. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, And the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
There's a saying that we're all familiar with, that seeing is believing. Sometimes we say we won't believe something until we see it. But in our scripture, we're going to hear about believing is seeing. Believing is seeing. Let me explain to you what I mean by that. There are 138 times in all of the four Gospels that Jesus is reported as seeing. He sees people. He notices things. Jesus was a seer. It wasn't that others around him were not seeing. It was the way he saw that contrasted with the disciples and contrasted with the crowd and particularly the Pharisees, and generally everyone else. Jesus had a special way of seeing. Last week we heard that Jesus accused the crowd of being hypocrites because they were able to see the signs that foretold the changing weather, but they were not able to see the signs that showed that God, their heavenly parent, wanted to give them the kingdom, little flock. And now, there are 44 references to Jesus referring to working with eyes in the gospel. Of course, one of the recurrent miracles of Jesus was to restore sight. It would seem that the people of Jesus' day had difficulty with seeing. They had a problem seeing, particularly as Jesus saw. They did not see as he saw and did not see what he saw. So our scripture today is a good example of this. In today's passage, Jesus encounters a woman who's been crippled for 18 years. Long enough, I guess, that everyone in her community saw her simply as the bent-over, crippled woman. 18 years is a long time. So that's who she was. She was not a person. She was a condition. So when she appeared in the synagogue, no one there, except for Jesus, would have seen anything other than a crippled, bent-over woman. But the thing that tells me that Jesus saw something different in her is that his first words to her are in direct contrast with her outward appearance. And he says, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." The next thing Jesus does is to touch her. And, you know, I think it was just an ordinary, simple human contact and not some magical transfer of power or healing energy, as it sometimes is interpreted as being. Just those words, based on what he saw in her, and a simple human touch are enough to heal this woman, and she sets off to praise God. Would you like to be able to see like Jesus sees? I don't know about you, but I would like to be able to see the same way Jesus sees. So I have to ask, what was different in the way that Jesus saw this woman that could perhaps teach me to see as he saw? So I have three things that I notice about this that I think can help us see differently. First, he saw the person and not the condition. He doesn't speak to her as a bent-over, crippled woman. He just speaks to her as a woman. Now, frequently, I have had the task, or on occasion, I have had the task of conducting a funeral for someone who has taken their own life. And I always encourage the congregation and the family to remember that a person, any person, no matter who they are, is much, much more than the way that they died. It's a real trap to speak of a person who died by their own hand as forever after a suicide, and to forget that they were also a person in relationships with a family, with a home and career, people who love them. The leader of the synagogue in today's passage saw only the crime of healing on a Sabbath. Jesus saw a miracle of a woman whose cure was imminent. In all my encounters with people, am I able to see the person, not the condition? Am I able to see as Jesus sees? The second thing I notice is that he saw the potential and not the current manifestation. He saw something in her that no one else was able to see. He saw in her this child of God. Now, wouldn't it be cool to have the technology to figure out at what point the healing took place? Was it when she was seen by Jesus? When he told her then she was free of her ailment? Or was it when he touched her that it took place? And I think that at some level, the healing in our lives begins when Jesus sees us as whole and not as bent over. That's when the healing occurred, I believe, was how he looked at her and saw something different from everybody else around her. Now, I'm sure you are aware of the fact that when it comes to experiments, scientific experiments, the outcome is frequently determined by how we observe the experiment. We believe, and therefore we see what we expect to see. In South Africa, where they're still working out the fallout from apartheid, there's a question that is asked in anti-bias workshops. The leader asks, why is it that when we see a white person running in the street, we say to ourselves, I wonder what he is late for? But when we see a black person running in the street, we ask, I wonder what he is running from. What effect does our projection onto people do to the experiences they and we have of each other? And so all my encounters with people, am I able to see the potential in the suffering individual before me? Or do I just see a problem? That is not seeing as Jesus sees. Seeing as Jesus sees is seeing the potential in the suffering person. Lastly, he saw without prejudice. Jesus had the gift to see exactly what was before him in its kingdom potential, and not be swayed by external things, but was able to see past the current reality, which contradicts what he was seeing on the surface, he could see to a much deeper level. Now, I want to talk with you a little bit about prejudice. Prejudice actually means, the word prejudice means to judge before. And it was told to me once, I heard this story once, where a teacher was told, given false information about the students in her class, the learning abilities of these children. And after just one semester, the children were performing according to the false profiles she had been given. Her prejudice had created real behavior in the classroom. Frequently, we see only what we expect to see. So the question here is, in all my encounters with people, am I able to see the reality of the person rather than be swayed by the opinions or what I've been told or experienced of them before this moment? Can I act without prejudice and see what God sees in a person? I believe that ministry, at some level, is about healing. When I think of my work as a pastor and as a healer, I believe, I realize that the healing begins when people are seen as Jesus would see them. Jesus sees differently than we see. He sees with unconditional acceptance. He sees with appreciation for their person and not their problem. He sees with a vision for their potential and not their limitation. He sees with how our prejudice could keep us in bondage to suffering, or if I could let my prejudice go, to their liberation. A colleague of mine has a blog that's called Seeing More Clearly, and I kind of like that. Where Jesus is concerned, it's not seeing is believing, but believing is seeing. Do we believe? Do we see as Jesus sees? Believe in him, and you will. Amen and amen.
If you'd stand and turn in your hymnals to number 593, we'll sing Here I Am, Lord.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin.
The rail is open if you'd like to come up.
By the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them. They turned away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them heart for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Who shall I say? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go. If you need me, I will hold your people in my heart. By the Lord of wind and flame, I have been the Lord and flame. I will say,
what Jesus sees when he looks at you. Jesus sees a precious, precious child. Jesus sees a precious, precious child when he looks at all of us. We have the ability within us. We have that spark, that image of the divine within us that needs to be set free, that needs to embrace and receive the love of God today and every day. So go from here knowing deep inside your bones, Jesus does not see a condition or a limitation or an outfit or whatever it is, whatever burden it is that you're carrying today. Jesus sees you and loves you. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you. Go in his peace. Amen.